Welcome to KUI News, the collaboration between the University of Idaho's own student-operated radio station, KUI, and its editorially independent student newspaper, The Argonaut. Stay up to date on everything going on your campus and beyond every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Once in the morning at 9:30 a.m., and once after you're actually awake at 3:30 p.m. This is KUI News for Wednesday, February 13th, 2013. I'm Dylan Brown. Upcoming on today's broadcast, Michelle Gregg reports on a $3 million donation to the College of Natural Resources that will be used to help UI's Pitkin Forest Nursery. Andrew Deskins looks at ASUI and the University of Idaho Bookstore's effort to offer more ebooks to students, despite dwindling sales numbers. In sports, Anthony Kuypers recaps the Vandal men's tennis team's victory this weekend to continue their perfect season. And Stefan Wiebe recaps this past weekend's track and field action. From RAR, our weekly arts and entertainment insert, Emily Varstra profiles one of Moscow's finest. And finally, Brian Marceau defends the hippies, tree huggers, and nature freaks in today's opinion column. But first, this news. Budgets have been squeezed tight these past few years across campus. Every department has gone looking outside the university coffers for money. But sometimes the donor comes to you. For the College of Natural Resources, a $3 million donation means big changes. Michelle Gregg has the story.
If one word could describe Anthony Davis, it is passionate. Not only is he passionate about solving real-world problems, but he is a team player who said he is ready to change the world. Davis, a professor in the College of Natural Resources, along with the University of Idaho, have received a $3.3 million donation from Tom Alberg and Judy Beck. The donation makes Davis U of I's first fully endowed chair and covers the cost of a new classroom at the UI Franklin H. Pifkin Forest Nursery, provides graduate student research fellowships, and creates a faculty excellence fund. Davis said, in academic lingo, an endowed chair comes from a donation, someone who makes an investment in the university. He said the donors are basically saying they like what the College of Natural Resources does and the research they're conducting, and they want to make sure they can keep doing research without any running into financial problems. Davis said this allows them to pursue their grand ideas, but can need to get things done and with a lot more flexibility in how they operate.
They're wonderful people, and they want to invest money in things that are going to change the world or the environment or provide more opportunities for people. So their son, Carson, he's loved the University of Idaho. It's given him some great opportunities. They've always had a passion.
After learning that Alberg and Beck wanted to make a donation that would allow Davis to build and create learning opportunities for his students, as well as fund several other areas in CNR, David said he was honored and proud to be part of the University of Idaho and what they do here. We're a small college and a relatively small university in a geographically diverse state, Davis said. We do fantastic work, are strong collectively, and are really good at what we do. Davis, director of Franklin H. Pitkin Forest Nursery, said part of the donation money goes toward covering the cost to build a classroom in the nursery, which would assist the staff in teaching, research, and other nursery operations. He said the nursery is an amazing facility, but because it's 2 miles from campus, it's underused and underserved. With a classroom, there will be able to have labs out there, hold classes, and create a unique learning opportunity for students. Pitkin Nursery Production and Logistics Associate Kia Woodruff said, although many students take field trips to the nursery, there is not a lot of space. However, she said they're most excited about the fact that more students can come there and they'll have space for hands-on activities as well as more equipment for them to use. This grant gives them the opportunity to do research that no one else is doing, Woodruff said. It'll benefit the students that work here, College of Natural Resources, and the entire university. Davis said he wanted the classroom at the nursery to highlight what they could do on a sustainable level. And even though this has been his passion project for a while, it has been collective and a team effort. He noted that almost all the building products have been donated by the Idaho Forest Products Commission, so the building is made entirely of Idaho wood and in a very exposed manner. The floorboards have been harvested off of the experimental forest, doors and window trim made from Douglas fir harvested in North Idaho, and the exterior siding from the western red cedar and western whitewood trees. Students are going to learn from just looking around. This isn't talking about sustainability, it's living it, Davis said. Davis also teaches graduate students and said another part of the donation will fund two of his students to conduct research at the Oxbow Center for Sustainable Agriculture and the Environment, located in Carnation, Washington. Not only will they live in Carnation conducting research at the Oxbow Center, Davis said, but they will be holding seminars and teaching people about the native plants there. The extensive donation not only funded a large part of research done in the College of Natural Resources, but also created a $100,000 Faculty Excellence Fund in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. Steve Hacker, Director of Development for the College of Natural Resources, said the fund will help their faculty and expand their program. Hacker said Alberg and Beck set the standard for how much of an impact can be made at University of Idaho to really expand the university and provide students with the resources that will help expand those programs. Hacker said they have to go out and find people that believe in what they're doing. Davis said, overall, this shows how important it is to work hard and that the donation and research credit is due to the support of the entire college and the entire university. Davis said he doesn't like being the front man of the large donation. He made sure to point out that it's not just him, but a team effort.
Thanks to Michelle Gregg for that story. Every student in every major field every year has the same complaint. Textbooks are way too expensive. To address the added financial strain put on students by inflated prices, the University of Idaho Bookstore and ASUI is looking to incorporate more e-books this next year. Andrew Deskins reports.
Despite the increasing trend towards e-readers like the Kindle or iPad, the University of Idaho Vandal Store is actually seeing a decline in student interest in electronic textbooks. Textbook buyer Kathleen Norris said that this fall, the Vandal Store sold less than $500 in electronic textbooks, which is down from $20,000 3 years ago. Norris said she believes the trend is largely due to the emergence of the textbook rental program. She said that both ebooks and rentals are comparable in price and both can be used for the whole semester. She said that she can see why students would choose real books because it is easier to reference when doing homework on the computer. Norris also said there is a decline in supply of ebooks due to Kindle entering the electronic textbook market. The Vandal Store cannot buy from Kindle. Students who are interested in ebooks have noticed the drop in supply. ASUI President Hannah Davis took up the issue when a friend asked why he couldn't get all his books electronically. After meeting with Andrew Bruick of University Advising Services and Miranda Anderson of the Teaching and Advising Committee, Davis said professors pick the best text available, but if the publisher doesn't offer it electronically, students are out of luck. Davis said ASUI Director of Policy Chris Schrett conducted research that indicated students prefer print textbooks. Davis said that the university bookstore is always looking for ways to be a more attractive option to students. The bookstore will be presenting to the Faculty Senate at their meeting tomorrow.
Golden light, don't know why. If I run to you, would you stay? I might be a prototype, but we're both real inside.
The title track from Beta Love, the new album from today's featured artist, Ra Ra Riot. The University of Idaho track and field team took advantage of a big stage at the Husky Classic in Seattle this weekend to put some fast times on the track. With a recap of this past weekend's meet, Stefan Wiebe has this report.
The Husky Classic is one of the most prestigious indoor track and field meets in the nation, and Idaho junior Hannah Kaiser took full advantage of a chance to race against stellar competition. Over the weekend, the Vandals competed in the Husky Classic and the UW Open in Seattle against teams from all over the country. With a strong kick near the end of the race, Kaiser finished fourth overall in the invitational portion of the women's 3,000 meters, finishing in 9 minutes and 4.74 seconds. She beat her previous WAC record of 9 minutes and 7.23 seconds and moved into fifth in the NCAA so far this season. Kaiser's time is an astonishing 43 seconds faster than the current second-best time in the WAC. But Kaiser wasn't the only distance runner to impress. Seniors Liga Velvier and Lauren Schaefer finished 1-2 in the non-invitational run of the women's 800-meter race, an event that featured 52 total runners. Velvier's time of 2 minutes and 7.95 seconds leads the WAC and ranks 40th in the NCAA so far this season. Schaefer's time of 2 minutes and 9.33 seconds ranks third in the WAC. Velvier also finished third in the women's 400-meter race on Sunday at the UW Open with her time of 56.50 seconds. On the men's side, junior Kyle Rothwell had another huge personal record in the men's weight throw. His toss of 62 feet and 10 inches not only won the event, but moved him into 38th in the NCAA this season. Rothwell is also the WAC leader in the weight throw. He went on to win the event again on Sunday with a toss of 62 feet and 4 inches, despite fouling 4 of his 6 throws. In the sprints, Idaho's 4x400m relay team of junior Andrew Bloom, freshman Ian Middleton and Blake Gerling, and sophomore Ben Asuata won the men's 4x400m relay with a season-best time of 3 minutes and 15.54 seconds. Asuata and Bloom also finished 2nd and 3rd respectively in the men's invitational section of the 400m dash with times of 47.37 seconds and 48.37 seconds. For KUI News, I'm Stefan Wiebe.
The Idaho men's tennis team kept its unbeaten record intact as they took down two regional foes in Spokane on Saturday. The Vandals defeated Whitworth University 7-0 Saturday morning, then capped off their trip with a 4-2 win against Gonzaga in the afternoon. Idaho improved to 5-0 on the season. Coach Jeff Beeman said the guys had a good weekend, with all members of the team picking up at least one win in one of two matches. Idaho swept the singles competitions against Whitworth, with each Vandal winning in straight sets. Senior Marius Sirste won the number one singles match, sophomore Cesar Torres won the number two, and senior Ivan Krechanto won the number three. The rest of the singles competition marked the spring debut for three Vandals. Senior Philip Fitchell won at number four, freshman Matt Odinento won at number five, and senior Jake Knox won at number six. Idaho also won all three doubles competitions against the Pirates. Senior Abid Akbar and Sirste, ranked number 46 nationally among doubles pairings, won their number one doubles match 8-2. Knox and Kurjanto also won 8-2, and number two Fitchell and Odinento earned an 8-1 victory at number three. Gonzaga, 4-2 in the season, proved to be the toughest test for Idaho. Bulldogs Alvaro Nazel and Pablo Mosquera defeated sophomore Dmitry Perevezchikov and Torres for the number three doubles match. Gonzaga's Hayden Smith and Vicente Varas nearly beat sophomores Cristobal Ramos Salazar and Jose Bendek, who were down 1-4 before coming back and winning the number two match 8-7. Akbar and Sirste won at number one by a score of 8-3. The win keeps Idaho atop the Western Athletic Conference standings and their unbeaten streak alive. The Vandals will face their first conference opponent, Utah State, on February 16th in Logan, Utah. Beeman said Idaho will need to stay focused if they want the streak to continue.
I most feel I had a good day. It wasn't that great, but if I start to move, because I'd rather be given to wonder, why don't you stay here? But on the contrary, I live in lonely beds, so lonely, so lonely. Come and dance with me, be a sweet fool. I wanna be a toy, I wanna be a toy. Come and dance with me, be a sweet fool.
Track titled Dance With Me from today's featured artist Ra Ra Riot and their new album Beta Love. They are there when you need them and when you really wish you'd been smarter. Being a police officer in a college town has its perks and its drunken teenager drawbacks. With a profile of one of Moscow's finest, Emily Varstra from the RAR magazine filed this report.
Moscow police officers are devoted to making their community a safe environment to live in every day, no matter what each day may bring in the line of duty. Corporal Lindsay McIntosh of the Moscow Police Department said there is never an average day as a police officer. One of the more entertaining parts about being a police officer is you never know what you are going to get when you come to work in the morning, she said. You can spend a day chasing stray animals, take a bunch of theft reports, deal with domestic calls, a robbery, or a burglary. There is no plan when she comes into work, McIntosh said. If she has a plan, it is generally out the window within about 5 minutes. McIntosh said she has been a police officer for 7 years, and she went to the police academy in Georgia. She worked down there for 4 years and then moved up to Moscow. Moving from Georgia to Idaho was a big and interesting transition for her, she said. The crimes and the people are different, but she likes it in Moscow. Her favorite part of the job is being able to be out in the community, helping the community, and interacting with different people. The hardest part of her job is that most of the time officers are dealing with people in the worst moments of their life, McIntosh said. Helping people work through those crises is difficult, and it can be draining at times, but that is also part of why she does the job, she said. McIntosh said she used to work in the University of Idaho campus police office, but she has since been working street patrol for her department. She enjoyed her time being in the campus environment while teaching and working with students. McIntosh said if anyone has questions about an officer's job, they should walk up to an officer and have a conversation with them to get their opinion. People may be surprised what they have to say, she said. For KUOI News, I'm Emily Vartstra.
You see them all over town. Maybe you are one and proud of it. But Moscow has a thriving granola population. However, the alternative food movement on display at the farmers market and at the co-op is attracting more people to the fold as fears over processed food come to the forefront of American consciousness. With his column in defense of the health nut, here's Brian Marceau.
There's a Birkenstock-wearing, yoga-practicing, organic food-buying liberal in your life, and you've probably labeled them a health nut or granola from time to time. These people, shopping at places like Whole Foods or Moscow's co-op, perusing organic produce with little concern for its additional cost, work with two assumptions both radical and skepticism-inspiring to most Americans. First, if we eat less poison, we'll feel better. Second, if we eat more good stuff, we'll feel better as well. Obesity is the condition most associated with the poor diet. While avoiding excessive weight and its comorbidities qualifies as a fringe benefit, that's not the sole goal of the Whole Foods Health Nut. Differing from the average American, these people know the best way to stay healthy is to not become ill in the first place. Their best defense is nutrition. Western medicine stands peerless in terms of curing the sick and lengthening lives. That does not mean healthcare in 2013 is without significant flaws in both protocol and success rates. CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta made news this week with his estimate that a third of all cancer treatments use needlessly ineffective drugs due to flawed diagnosis procedures. If Dr. Gupta is close to accurate, how much comfort will you feel knowing the richest country the world has ever seen gives your loved one a 33% chance of receiving a faulty prescription, treating the wrong disorder, but delivering guaranteed side effects like neuropathy, chemo brain, and death? Cancer is not the sole source of unneeded harm via contemporary medicine. In 1998, the Journal of American Medicine Association published a study estimating 106,000 people die each year from, the euphemistically put, adverse reactions to properly prescribed and correctly administered medications. That's not abuse, addiction, or prescription fraud, but following doctor's orders and dropping dead anyway. Time is not correcting this issue. Throughout 2009, the Drug Abuse Warning Network cited 2.28 million cases of those adverse reactions to properly prescribed and correctly administered medications severe enough to require emergency room treatment. The answer to this issue is not tossing your prescriptions and adopting veganism. Most Americans suffer from illnesses of lifestyle, our usual culprits of overindulgence, wear on the body, and manufacture reasons for pharmaceutical use. Granolas have figured this out, and they simply decide they won't give themselves conditions they don't have to. Instead, they take numerous small steps, such as choosing raw vegetables over deep-fried death, or organic foods over processed foods. These decisions, repeated continually across years and decades, help the body in precisely the opposite way excess drinking and fast food eventually weaken your constitution. There's no one thing anyone must do to avoid the pharmaceutical cycle of taking a pill for a problem, then another pill for the side effects of the first, without accompanying lifestyle changes. It's thousands of repeated steps that start out as a choice and evolve into habit. Discipline is the only silver bullet. From KUOI News, this is Brian Marceau.
I was alone when I gave it up, despite all the weight you feel. I don't want you to reveal.
One last track from today's featured artist on KUI News, Ra Ra Riot, and their new album, Beta Love. That song was called Angel Please. That's going to do it for KUI News for Wednesday, February 13th, 2013. But the Argonaut doesn't stop here.
Check out your student newspaper
on Facebook,
Twitter,
and Pinterest.
Also, be sure to check out the rest of Student Media's outlets, including...
RAR.
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 RAR is the Argonauts Weekly Arts and Entertainment tab that showcases everything from reviews to quirky features. Find RAR inside the Argonaut every Friday and online at uiargonaut.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter by following at RAR Weekly.
Can't get enough Argonaut photos? Look at online exclusive photos and more on our Facebook page at facebook.com/uiargonaut.
Hangry, hungry, parched, craving something sweet? Visit the Argonauts food blog, Crumbs, at uiargonaut.com/crumbs. Like Crumbs on Facebook and follow at uicrumbs on Twitter and Pinterest for new recipes every week.
To stay up to date on everything Idaho athletics, check out Vandal Nation at thevandalnation.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/Idaho Vandals, and certainly check us out on Twitter at Vandal Nation.
And don't forget about the University of Idaho student magazine.
Leprechauns are said to hide pots of gold at the ends of rainbows. If you're lucky, you'll find one pot in your life. Blot comes out twice a semester, and it's as close as your nearest newsstand or your computer. Go with the sure thing. Go with Blot. Find your pot of gold at blot.uidaho.edu.
Once again, thank you for listening to KUI News. I'm Dylan Brown. Have a great Wednesday.